You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hello, welcome to a weekly podcast by the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Gary Bauer. I'm Vice President for Public Affairs and Public Policy at the Institute. And it's a pleasure to continue this conversation with you as we deal with issues related to faith, family, and freedom in the United States. Now, I was thinking the other day about how Dr. Dobson and I first started working together. It was more years ago than I think either one of us would admit. But I was serving in government at the time for Ronald Reagan. I was Undersecretary of Education and then later at the White House as President Reagan's advisor on domestic policy. And Dr. Dobson was doing what he's been doing for a long time, which is making that great defense that I think he's unique in being able to make effectively for faith, family, and freedom. And we found he discovered me in government and I discovered him outside of government. We found that there were a lot of things we agreed upon and we started working together, and that partnership has continued all these years. One of the things that Dr. Dobson and I have been concerned about, and hopefully you're concerned about it too, and that is defending the precious religious liberty that we have here in the United States. You know, if you're a Christian and you're going to be born somewhere in the world, you can't be blessed more than to be born in this country where we have enshrined in our founding documents and our Bill of Rights the freedom of religion. Now, in recent years, that freedom of religion has faced some challenges. There certainly are powerful forces at work in the United States that want to restrict that. And it requires us to be very vigilant to make sure that we defend the religious liberty that I think, quite frankly, we often take for granted because it's something we have experienced all of our lives. And in fact, I think a lot of people were, quite frankly, a little shocked at how quickly churches were shut down during the COVID emergency, because governors and mayors and even people in the federal government said that the churches were not essential. So there was no need to keep them open. And at the same time that they were doing that, abortion clinics and bars and strip shows and all sorts of other things were staying open because somebody said that those were essential. You know, the religious liberty that we enjoy here is not what Christians around the world experience. I served for 3 years as a presidential appointee on the U.S. Commission on International Religious Liberty. And I found that even I had underestimated how precious religious liberty was and how often around the world it's not observed. In fact, every year, the United Nations publishes a list of the 10 top nations, or if you will, the 10 bottom nations that are really lousy at letting their citizens have religious liberty. When I was on that commission, I discovered, and I already sort of knew this, but there was actually a lot of clear evidence about it, that the 10 worst offenders of religious liberty, the nations that more aggressively defended it and didn't allow their citizens to enjoy it, tended to be either radical Islamic countries, countries like Saudi Arabia, for example. In Saudi Arabia, you don't see many churches being built. I can guarantee you that you don't see any synagogues being built. So in radical Islamic countries, religious liberty is very restricted. The other kind of country that violates religious liberty, religious freedom, are godless communist countries, countries like North Korea and communist China. Christians in those countries live out their faith in a way quite different than we live out ours. You know, we may complain when we go to church that if we don't get there at exactly the right time, we may not find the parking place that we wanted. Or maybe we will lose out on the typical seat that we take every Sunday in the church that we go to. What? We lost the seat we usually sit in. Maybe we complain about the sermon not being exactly what we wanted it to be. Or maybe we think the pastor's asking for a tithe too often. Now, look, these are all legitimate issues, but it's worth remembering what Christians around the world deal with. I'm not a prophet, clearly, but I can tell you without fear of any kind of contradiction that Christianity is the most persecuted faith around the world, and that Christians are the most persecuted people around the world. Every Sunday, Christians in the third world, Christians in Africa, in the Middle East, and in parts of Asia will leave very humble homes, and they will often walk long distances to go to their church, knowing that this might literally be the last thing they do on this earth. Now, think about that for a moment. I wonder if we would go to church religiously every Sunday if we knew we were taking a very real risk that when we walked into that church with our family, we may not walk out alive, that those churches could be attacked by extremists or by gangs. They could be blown up. This happens every Sunday to Christians worshiping all around the world. I remember a number of years ago, a very dramatic thing happened. A video arrived at Western media outlets here in the United States and in media outlets in Europe. And the video showed a group of Christian men, Coptic Christians from Egypt, who had gone to the nation of Libya to work in the oil fields there to try to make some more money to send back to their families in Egypt. And on this videotape, what you see are around 20 Christian men dressed in orange jumpsuits, and they're kneeling on a beach in Libya. Behind them stood their captives, their captors. These were radical Islamists, and there was a radical Islamist standing behind each one of those Christians, and that radical Islamist was holding a sword. These Christians were now in the hands of their sworn enemies. The video was labeled People of the Cross, and shockingly, as Western media outlets began to look at this video, what they saw and what they heard was the radical Islamists telling these Christians that they were going to die on that beach. The only way they could avoid dying on the beach was to do one of a couple of things. One of the things they could do was agree to pay a tax for the honor of living under radical Islam. Well, these were poor men. I mean, the reason they left Libya to work and the reason they left Egypt to work in these Libyan oil fields was they couldn't make enough money in Egypt to provide for their families. So they knew it was risky to go to Libya, but they went there anyway in order to make more resources, more money that they could send back home. So there was no way they were going to be able to pay a tax. The second thing they were told they could do that would guarantee they would not die on that beach was simply renounce Jesus Christ. Their Islamic captors told them that if they would just say out loud that they renounced Jesus, they no longer believed in him, they believed in Allah, they were now followers of Muhammad, that if they said that, they would be set free. Well, the video goes on to show that not only did those Christian men not renounce Jesus. But as the swords were coming down on their necks, the last thing that they said on this earth was their praise for Jesus. Now, I probably could really impress you watching this podcast if I told you right now that if I were on that beach in the hands of those radical Islamists, I would do exactly what those Coptic Christians did. I would sing my praises of Christ, and I would not hesitate to give my life for our Lord. But you know, the more I thought about it, I have to be completely honest with you. If you come to this podcast, I think you're assuming you're going to hear the truth, and that's what I intend to speak to you. And I have to admit to you, there's part of me that wonders whether I might have said on that beach a little prayer in which I'd said to Jesus, you know, Christ, you know what's in my heart. But I'm going to renounce you right now because I know you don't want me to die on this beach. You don't want my wife to be a widow. You don't want my children to be orphans. And so I'm going to satisfy these evil men by telling them I no longer believe in you. But once I escape this terrible situation, once I get back to Egypt, I'm going to do even more for you. I'm going to live my faith in an even more dramatic way. I'm going to go all over telling the story of what happened and why all of us should be committed to you. I can imagine doing that. But none of those Coptic Christians in that situation chose that easy way out. You know, the Western media outlets showed a few clips of the captives. They thankfully didn't show them being beheaded. And they definitely did not play the audio that went with the video, in which you can hear those men sing the praises of Jesus on their last moments on earth. Later, when the video finally found its way to the families of those men, their wives and families wept, not in sadness, but in joy. They explained to the people that were there with them that once they heard that their husbands and their fathers had sung the praises of Jesus as their last act on this planet, that they were then confident that they would see them someday again when they were reunited with him in heaven. What a story of faith. And what a lesson about the value and the wonder of religious liberty. Now, the kind of persecution these men face, this is the kind of persecution our brothers and sisters in Christ face all over the world. Christians in communist China baptize their children in the dark of night, in streams and in lakes, because they don't want to be caught on cameras where the Communist Party of China will be able to know that they are believers and are raising their children to believe in Christ. Many Christians around the world have to go to church where they know their very pastor is actually working for the government and not working for Jesus. Again, in communist China, they have forced churches to take down any likeness of Christ and to replace those artist renditions and sculptures with pictures of Premier Xi, the head of communist China and the head of the Chinese Communist Party. I think of all this every time I hear somebody here in the United States, one of my brothers and sisters in Christ here. Dr. Dobson and I have talked about this many times. We'll meet our fellow Christians who will say to us, look, I really love what you guys do, but you need to back off a little bit. I mean, you're just going to make things worse for us. Or you're talking about issues that may stop people from going to church because they may not agree with you on the sanctity of life or what the definition of the family is or the importance to stand up to our government when our government goes off the rails. So I hope that we as Christians blessed to be born here in the United States or to have immigrated here to the United States, that maybe one of the things we ought to be praying about is not only that our fellow Christians around the world will be safe from persecution, but maybe we ought to add to that prayer that we as American Christians could find the courage to stand in the public square for our Christian faith that's equal or even greater than the courage that our brothers and sisters in Christ face all around the world. Every Sunday, they worship Jesus. That's the reason Christians here in the United States should be involved in government, should run for office, should let our government know we cherish our religious liberty and we're not going to give it up easily. I hope you're enjoying these podcasts each week. We really would love to be in a deeper conversation with you and to share with you the incredible resources we have at the James Dobson Family Institute to help you navigate all the things that's happening right now in American culture that affects your family and your faith and our freedom. You can do that by going to drjamesdobson.org/public-policy. Please do that. I think you're going to find a lot of information you're going to love to share with your family and your church. And be back here next week as we deal with these great issues facing America of faith, family, and freedom.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.